Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not sure where to start, but I'll start at the beginning, wherever that is. We're from Sioux City, Iowa. We grew up in the church. Kelly was church secretary at Morningside Assembly of God, and I had a construction company. And from the time that we got married, we've been married now 27 years, we always thought we'd be missionaries. We always thought we'd be missionaries. You know, it was just kind of one of those things that we felt God's call on our life, and life happens. We had kids, and let's bring up our phone. We got our slide. Life happens, and the construction company was growing. We're doing things at church. We figured if we're only missionaries, we probably should do our part. So we volunteered at our church, and we got our credentials through the Berean courses and worked on that. And Kelly and I would go on week-long missions trips yearly, or however it was possible. And one year, our daughter was in eighth grade and our son was 10, and we went as a family. And our heart's cry at that time was, when we were passing the offering bucket for missions, we were like, God, we've given as much as we can give as far as financially. We want to put ourselves into the offering plate. Use us, please use us. You know, we've done as much as we can do here monetarily. You know, we're working in the church. Just use us in a greater way. And so we went on a missions trip to Mexico as a family. And when we get back, our daughter goes, Dad, I really thank God. And missions was a big deal in our life. It wasn't just like a sporadic thing. We were always about missions. Dad, I really think that we need to be missionaries by the time I'm a senior in high school, or we failed God. I'm like, well, I don't know about that, you know. And yeah, that's my heart cry, but that's a scary step.
I'm so sorry. I forgot to dismiss the kids to children's church.
See you guys. Have fun.
It is something I often forget to do, so I apologize for that. So it's good for them to hear.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's go to the next slide. So we contemplating, you know, what we need to do. Our business is going really good. Things, you know, things are going really pretty decent. There's, you know, just life's good, smooth. And so I go, well, I was telling my daughter, explaining to her that they probably won't accept us. We're probably too old. You know, giving them a whole reasons why. But I go, we'll fill out the application to become missionary associates. That would be the first step. And it's like a missionary in training. It's kind of a on-the-job training. And I go, we'll fill out the application. We'll see what they say. And as we were waiting for the application, our son developed seizures. And so God is faithful through every point and aspect in your life, through every hardship. You look backwards and you can see God's favor. You know, like Joseph, when he's being sold as a slave and he's in the prison. I mean, God's hand's on his life. And when you look back, you can easily see it. But when you're going through this stuff, you can't see it at all. You're just like, oh, my. You know? So we end up at Omaha's hospital, Omaha's Children's Hospital. And they said, oh, we can do surgery. We can remove. He ended up having a brain tumor. And there's an occipital lobe. And so we asked Springfield, is there any way you could put our application on hold at this time? We don't want to have to fill out all that paperwork again if we can avoid it. And we don't know which way God's steering us right now. And so we just happened to be working at an oncologist's house in Sioux City. He's the chief oncologist for the cancer center in Sioux City. My guys were, and I'm telling his wife, and he goes, well, give the doctor a call. I'm calling at work. Doctors are never home. It didn't seem like always on, gone in the morning, don't get home till late. But I call him, he goes, well, come over on Saturday, let's talk and see what you got. He's a Christian guy, and he's talking to me, and it just, you know, I was asking him all kinds of questions. I don't know nothing about medical stuff, and, you know, last time I was at the hospital was when my kids were born. And I'm asking him all these questions. He goes, well, you got my phone number. Well, you can just give me a call, and I can talk to the doctor for you. And I keep, you know, I'm scared, and I'm asking him all these other questions. What if this happens? What if that happens? He goes, well, you want me to go with you? I go, no, I think I'm old enough to do it myself. But, you know, just God's hands on everything. In every aspect of this whole process, we end up at Iowa City. And I go, can you, for surgery, it was December 29th of 2014. And I go, hey, is it possible that you could do one more MRI? I've been praying and fasting. In the books of James, it says, have the elders anoint your sick with oil. I did that. You know, I've done everything you said, God.
Sorry.
I go, do one more MRI because I don't think it's going to be there. I prayed it's going to disappear. But it was there. And surgery was supposed to be 8 hours, 6 hours and a half. They got through and they called us. They got everything. It was benign. So no more. They won't know what the side effects are until he comes out of anesthesia. And God is faithful.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That was good. Yeah. Comes totally through. You know, he's waking up out of anesthesia like, hey, did you see me here? Because they told us that he's going to lose some vision. Everybody said, oh, he's going to lose some vision. And like, hey, can you see me here? Can you see me here? At the end of the week, they did vision tests, and they did 2 hours worth of vision tests, and the doc says, quit trying so hard, you can see from ear to ear, head to toe, no blind spots.
Amen.
So we get approved after this. We get a letter from the doctor saying it's okay that we live and travel abroad. So we get approved, and then we head off to language school, August 2016. Language school made brain surgery look like a piece of cake. It was, when you're old, you're kind of slow. And I was probably arrogant and ignorant in my fact. You know, people kind of think you're weird when you go to church a couple, three times a week. And, you know, the guys I worked with and stuff, the guys that worked for me, they're like, you know, when you start selling your house, they really think you flip your lid. You sell all your equipment, you sell your house, and you go into language school to learn a new language. And, yeah, you're one of those wackos, I think. But one subject, all you have to do is learn Spanish. You get a whole year. School is from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. You got to do homework after that. Should be a piece of cake, right? It wasn't. It was tough. God is faithful. Through every aspect, God is faithful. And if we learn to trust in Him and lean on Him, no matter what, He'll handle us.
Amen.
And so we end up in Mexico, August of 2017. And this is when the fun begins.
You can go to the next slide. Mostly what we do is work with teams in construction and also outreach. And we also do some work in dormitories and orphanages. One of our projects that we worked on, it was in the town of Delicias in the state of Chihuahua. And this young couple were starting to plant a church. They were feeding kids under this tin sunshade on this vacant lot. And the government of Mexico saw what they were doing, said, we like what you're doing. We will give you this piece of property, but you have to have a building built within 2 years. Well, most of his congregation were, you know, young kids that he was feeding. So he contacted his district. His district contacted us and asked if there was anything we can do. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So we were able to partner with some teams from the U.S. to come and help him. The first team that came was from Iowa. They helped the church already had the foundation laid ready for the first team to come, and they were able to start putting up the walls, the block walls. Go ahead and go to the next slide. The next team, Lloyd and our mentor missionary, Nikki, had the roof trusses ready to go. So they were able to put trusses up, put the sheeting on the roof, and to start on kitchen and bathroom. Because you know when you feed kids, you got to have kitchen and a bathroom. Go ahead and go to the next slide. The third team that came, there was this great group called the Pew Crew, and they built benches and were able to get benches for the church and then finished off the bathroom and the kitchen. And with each team that came, we also did outreach to the community. Go ahead and go to the next one. So a lot of the outreach was for kids. For the first two teams, we would do two, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, because the school day is split. One group goes in the morning and one group goes in the afternoon. So we wanted to make sure both groups had something. So each team did the outreach. The third team that came also did a tent revival. So each day we would go out, we would invite people to come, and each evening the tent would get a little fuller. And by the end of the week, that tent was full, and when the altar call was given, 3/4 of the people came forward either to give their lives to Christ or to rededicate their lives. Wow. It was a fantastic. Next slide. A year ago, in January, we were able to go back. Our daughter, who's now in college in Des Moines, came to visit us on her break, and we were able to go back to Delicias, to this church, and help the pastor with the shoebox giveaway, you know, the Operation Christmas Child. He had some of those to give out at his church, and it was fun for us because we had been on the packing the shoeboxes on this side with our kids when they were younger, so to be able to give them out, it was really fun for us. And it was also great to see how the pastor's just continuing to connect with the community and the heart that he has for the kids and for the families.
Amen. Let's go to the next slide. One other area that we get to, we live in the city of Chihuahua. We didn't mention that, I don't think. Chihuahua is 4 hours south of El Paso. It's also the biggest state in Mexico, is the state of Chihuahua. And then the capital is the city of Chihuahua. We live in the city of Chihuahua, and we work from there. The city of Chihuahua is about 850,000 people. And from there, if you go to the west and to the south, you're up in the mountains. And we partner with Assembly of God missionaries, Mexican missionaries, to the indigenous tribe, the Tarahumaran people. And the missionaries, notice the Mexican government has schools throughout the mountains for the Tarahumaran kids that they can attend. And to get to that school, the villages that have the school, you can get to by vehicle. And off the pavement to get to the village is like 6 miles, and it takes about 2 hours to get to that village. And then from there, the kids walk into school on Monday, and it could be an hour up to about 4 to 5 hours is what the school draws from the other villages, uphill both ways in the snow. Oh no, that's our grandparents. That's what they did. They walked to school on Monday, and the missionaries noticed that they were sleeping outside the school, and on the ground, and whatever food they could carry is what they would have for that week, and then they'd walk home on Friday. So they started building dormitories, and let's go to the next slide. And the yellow buildings are the dormitories, and we help maintain. We also help do Bible stories and children's programs on Monday nights and Tuesday nights. The kids will walk in on Monday, go to school, and that night we'll do songs and games and crafts and Bible stories, and it's usually translated from Spanish to Tarahumaran. Tarahumaran's their first language. It's easier for me to speak to a Tarahumaran than it is, because Spanish is their second language, than a native Spanish speaker. It's just, it's easier when they kind of have the same defects I got, I guess. Spanish is their second language. But we have a blast. And then Wednesday nights they go to church. Everybody goes to church. And Thursday nights we do another Bible presentation. And Friday they walk home. And they're throughout the mountains. The thing that blows me away, it shouldn't blow me away, but it blows me away, is the faithfulness of God. Tarahumaran family typically has about an acre of ground. And they have corn as their crop that they raise. When we first got tortillas from Tarahumaran, I thought they were moldy because their corn's like blue-green. And when they grind it, it makes your tortilla look blue-green, and it looks just like mold. And I thought, it just sucked them off the thing. It can't be moldy. But, you know, after first one, it's no problem. You know, you keep eating after the first one. But the first one, you're like, oh, this is kind of a weird color. But their corn crop, back to my story. Their corn crop, the ones that go to church and help out in church, and their family does better, their corn crop does better than the corn crop right next door. I mean, just on the other side of the fence, if there is a fence, this area. These guys kind of, you know, not sold on Christ yet. But it's the same spot. I mean, it's 2 acres. And you're like, wow, thank you, Lord. I mean, it shouldn't blow us away because we know the Bible. You know, but when you see it in practice and you see the evidence of it, it just, thank you, Lord. Let's go to the next slide. The kids do sewing. They sew everything by hand. They're very artistic and artisans. They make all kinds of baskets. They weave baskets. They're just, it's amazing. And it's a lot of fun. Let's go to the next slide.
So we get the opportunity to work all over Mexico, mostly in the state of Chihuahua, but we also do some projects in the Yucatan within like 5 hours of the Cancun area, like that, to just give you an idea. So in the Mayan jungles in the south. One of the other places that we get to work is in Juarez, at an orphanage there. This young lady in the corner is Josefina. She's an Assembly of God credentialed minister in Mexico, and she started the orphanage in her home. She would go out, go about her business. She would see kids along the side of the road, and she would just have great compassion for them. And after questioning them, they had nowhere to go. They had no food. She'd invite them home with her. So eventually, she ran out of room in her house, so she contacted her district and says, I need an orphanage. And so they built her an orphanage, and we get to partner with her and with them to maintain that orphanage. One of the groups that we have are from the state of Washington, and some of their congregation winters in Arizona. So they'll fly to, snowbirds flying to Arizona, and then they'll cross the border to Juarez, and they do solar projects. The first year they did solar panels, they were able to cut the orphanage's electric bill in half, which is fantastic. When we've been there, they've run anywhere between 90 and 125 kids at this orphanage. So you can imagine that the electric bill could be pretty large. About a year ago, this time, they did solar water heaters. And so now that was the first hot water they had on site. And so the girls' dorm now has hot water. The boys still take cold showers. We get to do different teams come down. We also have a couple of college teams that come down. The University of Valley Forge in Pennsylvania comes to the orphanage. They'll do outreach to the kids, and then maybe just like painting projects, different things, you know, light construction. We just love Josefina. She is such an incredible woman of God. She's been named Woman of the Year twice in Mexico. She's got great rapport with the government in the city, and if there's any kids that are, you know, taken out of their home for whatever reason, they'll bring them to her, which is why she has up to 125 kids. But she just has such great faith. She gives those kids a hug every morning to make sure, you know, they're that physical touch. And we heard one story. She had heard that there was another orphanage in town that had no food. And so she gathered her kids together and said, this orphanage has no food. We're going to send them ours. And they're like, okay, what are we going to eat? And she's like, God will provide. And so they prayed. They sent their food away within just a couple hours, knocking on their gate, and in comes a truckload of food for them. I think what an incredible lesson for those kids, you know, who have come out of terrible situations. You know, we just need to trust God. God's going to provide. You know, even in those bad situations. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Ooh, one of the teams did laundry because they don't do laundry on site. Because they don't have water, running water. They have a truck that delivers water to the orphanage. They fill up these huge tanks. And so they don't want to use too much water. So they'll take their laundry off site. We had one team and they ended up doing 95 loads of laundry. That's a lot of laundry. We had those church vans, they are just wonderful for everything. We had it stuffed full of laundry to get to the laundromat. It was fun. As you can see, Lloyd is Mr. Fun Guy. They love it when he's there. It's just that he becomes the jungle gym. They just love it. And, you know, they love that, to be hugged, they want to know people care. And a lot of times when we'll come back and we're like saying hi to them and they're like, you remember me? And we're like, yes, we remember you. And that's just it. They want to be remembered. They want to know that their life means something. And it's so important for us to remember that, you know, that's not just kids in orphanages. That's not just kids who have no family. Everybody wants to know that their life is important. You know, and it's good that people remember us, but it's even more important that we remember that God knows who we are. God sees us. And God will provide. A story I remember, we were coming, and there was a couple of kids who had just come to the orphanage, and it was two brothers. One of them was doing pretty good. He was assimilating into life pretty good, but his brother he just couldn't do it. He would just cry. For 2 days, he cried. You know, Lloyd would be like, hey, man, come help me. Help me do this project or help me do this. And he's like, no, he didn't want to. And so Lloyd went and bought a bag of Hershey's chocolate. Chocolate is, it's universal language. So he's like, hey, man, come help me. And he's like, no. And he's like, I'll give you chocolate. He's like, okay. So he would give him chocolate through the day, and he'd put it in his pockets, you know. And so but by the end of the day, when the other kids came home from school, he was like, all right. And he goes over to the kids at school, and he starts handing out his chocolate, making friends. And it's like, so it helped him just to assimilate in. So, yeah, Lloyd is fun, and the kids love to have him around.
Let's go to the next slide. It's 50% of the time we're traveling. We sleep in a bed, not our own. And 50% of the time we're at home. And so when we're at home, the part of town we live in, it's not a bad part of town, but it's not good. Our mentor missionaries, they live in a nicer part, but we live in a part that's kind of typical neighborhood. Dirt roads, dogs in the street, roosters crowing, and there's a corner store, or there's a neighborhood store right across the street, so I can eat all the eggs and run to the store and get more eggs and come back before Kelly even knows that they're gone.
Yeah.
And so first time I went over there, the store clerk goes, well, your wife have problems with her paperwork, meaning was she deported? I go, no, my wife's a gringa. Why are you living here? I go, because we can afford this. And he's like, really? And they're like, yeah, this is what we can afford. And so this is stretches our money a lot further. And so it's a nice neighborhood, nice area. And there's a church that we help out with in our area. And we do Royal Rangers on Sunday morning. And they do a bus ministry to a poorer neighborhood where these kids can hardly keep shoes on their feet. They're lucky if they can find something to wear. And it's a blast to be able to minister to them, to be able to hug on them. I mean, they aren't not used to having adults or interaction with adults. And it's more of a benefit to me probably than what it is to them. I'm more blessed by it than what they are. When we go around the table and do our Royal Ranger curriculum, they use the Royal Ranger curriculum as their Sunday school curriculum. And when it's my turn, I always ask if I can read because it just helps me with my Spanish. And then the shy kids and the kids that are bashful and don't read so good, as soon as I read, man, they're popping up. You didn't set the bar very high, so I think I can, they're like helping me with my Spanish and stuff, and they're like, wow. I thought I was bad. Listen to this guy, you know. And so it helps, and it's easy. I'm glad I'm not good at Spanish. My English is pretty rough, too. And they're not afraid to come and tell you things. You know, we prayed with kids, and it's awesome. When, you know, don't have any hope in the world, there's, you know, no chance of success except through Christ. And if you know Christ, He'll make you successful, whatever that looks like. But, let's go to the next slide. As we head back, we're heading back as career missionaries, and Nikki and Janie, our mentor missionaries, they're the second ones to take over. Wes and Wanda Kelly first established the Northern Construction Mexico Missions the way it looks, the way we've presented to you. And it's not just us. It's not just, this isn't about us. This is about all the people that have supported us. It's all the churches in Iowa that have supported us. This is what we can show in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. And I'm paraphrasing Paul. Says that he's talking to the church at Philippi, and he's saying that he'd rather not see the gift, but he'd rather see when it comes credited to the giver's account, to your guys' account. That account is in heaven. When it says store up your treasures in heaven, this is the account that Paul is referring to, that he's looking forward to the day when it's credited to your account.
Amen.
That's That's what we look forward. You know, we get to go do this stuff. Some people think it's crazy. You know, something that was never on our radar was how many cold showers we'd take. That's probably, you know, it's weird. So this isn't about us, and our mentor missionaries are getting ready to retire in the next year or two, so we'll be taking over for them. This is something that I've never dreamed of, never thought of, never planned on, except for God. Only God through us can we accomplish what we're doing.
Amen.
And we hope to reach into the city of Aguas Caliente. It's about 8 hours south of Chihuahua, about 8 to 10 hours north of Mexico City. It's a town of 1 million people. It's 0.2% evangelical. The rest of them are Catholic. But the Catholicism is different in Mexico. They've incorporated a lot of indigenous gods. There's the harvest god, the sun god, the moon god, the ocean god that have been incorporated. They say we've never had a church split, but they've kind of lost the focus of who Jesus really is. He's just one of many gods. And so when they make offerings to different gods, and it's not necessarily Jesus. And so there's 4 or 5 churches or so in this town of 1 million people, a Quaker church and some Baptist churches, no AG churches. We're hoping to make inroads into this town. It's kind of a team effort for the Mexican missionaries from the U.S. that are living in Mexico. This is kind of our focus point of where we'd like to be, at least get some churches planted. And so if we have you pray for us with this, give us direction and how we can get churches established in this town of 1 million people, you know, surely we can get a few handfuls of people together. And with God before us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And we just appreciate you guys. We thank you for...
Even when we were going through our son's medical issues with the brain tumor, we knew that people were praying for us.
Amen.
We could feel prayer.
Amen.
And as missionaries, that's so important for us as well. We need your prayer. So if everybody could stop at our table on your way out, pick up a prayer card, pray for us, that is huge. Like Lloyd said, we can't, in our own strength, we can't do it. But God can provide what we need, the strength that we need. We need people who are willing to support us financially. As Pastor had mentioned with your faith promises, that's how churches are able to support missionaries, because they know how much is coming in, they know how much can go out. So those faith promises are important for your church. They're also important for missionaries, because we can't go until we're at 100% of our budget. So we're getting closer, and we're excited about it. We're getting excited to return to Mexico. And the third thing, maybe God's calling you to go. You know, we have teams that come down for week-long trips. Maybe God's calling you to that. Maybe God's calling you to a year or 2 years to serve him as a missionary associate. Maybe God's calling you for a lifetime. Maybe you're ready to put yourself in the offering plate. If you have any questions, we can hook you up with some information of direction on how to do that. We'd love to talk to you afterwards back at the table. Thank you so much for allowing us to come and just share our hearts for Mexico and what God is doing. We so appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor, for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.